Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 18 through 20. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you our pastor, Pastor Kozlov, as he brings us today's message.
Praise God to God. Praise and glory to God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who is still in the business of saving souls. This morning we continue on this topic, following Jesus, part 2. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Last time, it was almost 1 month ago, when we had communion, we reflected on what it means to follow Jesus. We used one specific passage when Christ said, when Peter said, For this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And we talked a little bit about what it means to follow Jesus. That it means to follow his example. As he suffered for us, we will be willing to sacrifice everything for him. As we continue on this topic, I want just briefly recapture few passages from the Bible that talks about following Jesus. Christ said to his disciples, If anyone wants to follow me, let him pick up his cross. Christ said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me, he would not walk in darkness. Christ said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So, this morning, I want to reflect on this particular passage. I will make you fishers of men. And I believe it's one of the most crucial ones, aspects, and most misunderstood when we think about following Jesus. I take for granted that you're all here because you want to follow him. There is a story about a young lady who wanted to go to college. And as she filled an application, there was one question. Are you a leader? And being honest and conscious, she said no. And she wasn't sure if she will get to the college or not. To her surprise, when she received the response from the college, she was accepted. And there was a remark. They said, Well, when we received your application, we had to accept you because out of 1,452 students who want to be a leader, we need to have at least one follower. Do you want to follow Jesus? And what it means to follow him? You see, we all, in one way or another, followers. But many times we follow our own ideas, our own desires and dreams. But Christ is challenging us to follow him. And not only follow him, but he is very specific what it means to follow him. If you read the text, he says, Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's interesting, their reaction. At once they left their nets and followed him. And you remember the names of those people whom he asked to follow him at that point. Who were the names of the first few disciples? Peter and Andrew. Peter, John, and Andrew. It's interesting. Christ begins his ministry by asking people to follow him. The first disciple, one of the first disciples who was asked to follow him, who received this command, invitation, was Peter. If you read the last chapter, Gospel of John, you remember the conversation between Peter and Jesus. When after Peter denied Christ three times, and Christ was talking to Peter, you remember what he said to Peter at the very end? I will read it. John chapter 21, Gospel of John. He said to him those words, "Feed my sheep." And then in verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter... Well, I skipped verse 18. I guess I got to read it. "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." I thought it was very profound. At the beginning of the gospel, we hear this invitation from Christ to Peter. "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And then, after 3.5 years, Peter traveling, being with Jesus, going through different things, denying him, telling that he loves him. It's interesting that Christ gives him the same command at the very end. He says, "Follow me." It's pretty important, probably, that he repeats the same statement that he started with Peter, and then at the very end, in the last chapter, Gospel of John, he says to Peter, "Follow me." So that's why I believe it's very crucial that we will really take our time to see what it means to follow Jesus. And I know that every one of us has a different idea. Well, not different, maybe somewhat the same, what it means to follow Jesus. But first of all, we need to identify. When Christ invites us to follow, he doesn't call us to follow idea. He says, "Follow me." It's very personal. Following Christ means have personal relationship with Christ. He says, "Follow me." It's very profound. Let's never forget it. Then he makes the statement when he explains what it means to follow him. "And I will make you fishers of men." Most of the time we focus on this expression, fishers of men, that Christ invites us to seek others. But there is something that is easy to miss, is when Christ says, "I will make you." Who qualifies us to go out and invite other people? Christ does. If you think about it, it's very powerful. It's profound. Christ says, "I will make you." And it's one of the most important parts of this invitation. "I will make you." Many times when, as a pastor, I talk to people and encourage them to be active in church and in ministry, sometimes the most common question is people feel like they are not qualified to do certain things in church. But if you believe in Christ, he says, "I will make you." And if you read the same passage in Mark, the words are slightly different. They're exactly the same in NIV, but in King James, this is how it reads. "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." It makes it even more special. He doesn't say, "I will make you fishers of men." "I will make you to become fishers of men. It's probably one of the most crucial points to our spiritual walk with Christ. When we take Christ by faith and we're willing to follow him, he invites us to follow him in a certain direction. He says, follow me, not just to follow me to church, not just to follow me to potluck, but he says, follow me to go to save others. When you think about it, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to follow him, we're here in church because Christ attended church synagogue. But how often did he do it? Once per week, right, on Sabbath. And we come to church once per week on Sabbath. I don't count prayer meetings and other special times when we come to church. But it's interesting. Do we follow Christ the other days of the week? What does it mean to follow Christ for the other days of the week? If you think, we all have this idea to follow Christ. And for most of the people is to come to church. Means I'm Christian, I come to church. But it's only one day out of seven. Does it mean that we Christians, that we follow Christ only one day out of seven, and for the other 6 days we don't follow Christ? The most amount of time, the most activity, the most effort that Christ spent when he was on earth, he was doing just one thing. And it's well captured in Luke chapter 19:10. It describes the business that Christ was in. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 10. This is what it says. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is what Christ was about. He came to seek and to save what was lost. And everything that he was doing was evolving around this. His death on the cross, miracles, teaching. It was all about one purpose, to save the lost. And 7 days per week, 24/7, this is what he was doing. If we want to follow him, this is what we need to be doing. And this is how he articulated. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Join me in what I'm doing. I'm about saving people. This is what it's all about. Follow me and join what I'm doing, saving other people. So it's not just going to church. That's good. This is when we come to worship God. But following Christ means more. It means to join him in the business of saving people. And this is how he starts his invitation to people, and this is how it ends. Gospel ends with the Great Commission. Christ begins his ministry by inviting people to join in him in this venture of saving people. Come, join me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at the end, he says to Peter, follow me, feed my sheep. And the Great Commission is, go and make disciples. Not go. Make disciples by going, teaching, and baptizing. This will be the correct translation of this passage. The main verb there is make disciples. And others are by going, by teaching, by baptizing. This is what it's all about. And if we don't capture it, if we don't experience it, if this is not part of our DNA, then it means that we not truly follow Jesus. We're missing the most important part. Because, well, let me put this way. How do we grow spiritually in Christ? We know a few most important elements for the spiritual growth. You need to have a prayer. You need to have a daily devotionals when you pray. You read your Bible. But there is one more part that is missing many times. Is sharing, passing it on. And this is crucial to our spiritual growth. Because this is the process when Christ
makes us. He says, I will make you. If we are not part of this venture, we're missing a part when Christ is making, when we becoming fishers of men. This is part of the package. This is what means to be a Christian. This is what it means to follow Christ. Satan was angry with Christ. Satan was angry with his church. The church was growing at an unprecedented rate during the first few centuries. The message was spreading as a wildfire because in their mind, to join church, to follow Christ, exactly what it meant, to pass it on. They lived it. It was part of the DNA. That was the idea, what it means to follow Christ. When you received it, you shared it with others. They experienced persecution. They were doing in a sometimes sneaky way, but they could not keep it inside. And Satan came up with the plan. He decided, if we can take this part out of the what it means to follow Christ and give people an idea that to follow Christ means just to come to church once per week. It means that you profess when you baptize that you believe in Christ and give this responsibility to tell others about Christ to certain people, to the pastor, to the elder, to the deacon, and we just follow Christ by coming to church on Sabbath. And when this idea was indoctrinated into the church, Christianity became feeble and weak. It stopped growing because we got it wrong. It was changed what it means to follow Christ. We cannot grow when we are not sharing Christ. We cannot grow because Christ cannot make us. Because the making happens, Christ says, I will make you become fishers of men when we share with others who Christ is. This is the most essential part of following Christ. And it's not just a skill that we need to have. It's a state of the mind. It's part of our DNA. You see, many times now, when someone is joining the church, when they're baptized, they have an idea. They join the church. What does it mean? It means that you're supposed to come to church. If you're a faithful Christian, you will return tithe. And, well, maybe a few other things. Be involved in church here and there. But in reality, to be a Christian, to follow Christ, means to follow his footsteps, to join him in the business of saving people. And when we do it, then we fully follow him. Then we grow spiritually. Something happens because he begins working us as never before. It's not just praying, it's not just reading the Bible, but we join him. And this promise, I will make you become fishers of men, applies to our life. And he does miraculous things in our life. We transform. Something happens to us and to those around us. You see, it's easy to lose it, especially because in general, in Christianity, this idea to be a fishers of men is reserved for clergy. But truly biblical idea is that we all are priests in the presence of God. We all are called to be fishers of men. And if we will get it, the church will change. Instead of one person preaching from the pulpit, we all become preachers and it grows. It's a geometric progression. That's how church was growing. Once you accept it, you pass it on. And this is grows and grows and grows. But Satan was able to put a stop to it. He said, no, you don't need to do it. There is someone in church who has the skill, people skill or something, and then let them do it. And the church who was growing fast, it stopped. And not only church stopped growing, but the Christians become weak. You know, what are the modern people, young generation, looking in church for? They want to see a real Christianity. And it becomes real when we really follow Christ. And when we just come to church to hear a good message, we're missing the most essential part, what it means to follow Christ. And therefore, it's not quite real. And people sense it, they experience it, and they're not attracted to it. We don't have this power because we are missing the most important, one of the most important ingredients to follow Christ, to follow in His footsteps, to join Him in this business of saving people. This is what Christ was about. And this is not just the skills, it's a state of the mind. I heard an interesting story from Mark Finley. And I want to share this. When Mark Finley, well-known evangelist in Adventist Church, he was in Brazil getting ready for the big program there. The leaders of the church introduced to him one of the lay person from the congregation who throughout 1 year won about between 9 to 1,000 people to the Lord. Just a lay person, not a pastor. And Mark Finley was stunned, and he wanted, obviously, to meet this person, wanted to know what was his secret. When we hear about something special happening, we always have this question, what is your secret? How did you do it that through you, more than 900, between 900 to 1,000 people throughout the year joined the church? What happened? What is your secret? So this is what he answered. The first one is very simple. What I do. By the way, when he met the person, it wasn't someone especially nice looking guy. It was a regular average Joe. Average Joe, I can put it this way. The appearance wasn't impressive at all. And this fellow said, this is what I do. First thing, I smile. Can you do it? Can you smile? Can you? Let's smile. Thank you. And then he said, then I do two things. I will show you. It could be confusing, just stay with me. I do this and this. Can you do this? Can you repeat with me? I know you have no idea what I'm doing. Just do this. This and this. This and this. And he said, this is what I do. I just smile to people. Every time when I see someone, I smile to them and I begin to talk to them. And then, as I start a conversation, I invite them to my home or when it gets bigger, to some other place. And I put a videotape. This is what it means. When I have people come to my home, I cannot preach. I don't have these skills. This is what I do. I put a videotape in the player and turn it on. And God blessed and honored him. But he had sincere desire. He got it in his DNA, what it means to follow Christ, to share. Good message. He just put, by the way, it was, I believe, Mark Finley videotape with his sermon. That's why Mark Finley was sharing the story, maybe. But you see, it could be simple. You don't have to have a special skills how to preach or teach. All you need to have is the state of the mind. And Christ, He will qualify you. He says, I will make you. Let's never forget it. He is the one who makes us fishers of men. We're not supposed to be qualified and go when we know everything, how to do and so on. He says, I will make you fishers of men. He's the one who qualifies us. He invites us, follow me. If we're willing to follow him, if we will get it, that it would be ingrained in our heart, that it would be part of our Christian DNA, that to be a Christian, to To follow Christ means more than just go to church. It means to join Christ in this business of saving people. And this is the state of the mind that we have. This is the different eyesight that we have. This is how we see people around us. Whatever you're doing, where you're working, if you have the state of the mind, if this is part of your Christian DNA, things will change. If you're willing to follow Christ, He will make you. Consider it a promise. He says, I will make you to become. And your spiritual life will take wings when you see Him at work in your life and in the life of others' people. So this morning, as I conclude, I'd like to put it before you. I know that we all have different images in our mind what it means to follow Christ. But I want to challenge you with the biblical idea of following Christ this morning. And I know that most of you are probably very busy and you say, I'm so busy, I don't have a time. But trust that God is the one who creates time. If you're willing to follow, He will make you fishers of men. I know that most of you might say, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the skills. I'm intimidated. But it could be very simple. Just begin to smile. But Christ said, I will make you. Leave it to Him. Just be willing to follow Him. Leave it to Him. Just trust Him. He says, I will make you. How many of the disciples had all the skills and knew how to preach when Christ called them? They were fishers. He said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. He's the one who qualifies. So this morning, I want to challenge you that you will embrace this biblical idea, this biblical image, what it means to be Christians, what it means to follow Him. If this is your desire, I invite you to join me in prayer. And when I will be praying, there will be a moment when I pause. And I invite you, during this pause, talk to God about your desire to follow Him. If there are some obstacles that you see, talk to Him about it. But remember, He is the one who makes us qualify, not we. So, if this is your desire, please join me in prayer. And I invite you to stand with me for this prayer. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, You called every one of us to follow You. This invitation is extended not only to church members, but to visitors, to guests, maybe to someone who for the first time stepped through the doors of this church. But this is Your voice inviting every one of us to follow You. And I know some of us who've been in church for a long time, you might probably have already formed different ideas what it means to go to church, to be a Christian, to follow You. But I pray that this morning, as we all were challenged by Your word, what it means to follow You, to join You in this business of saving people, because we know that this is what it's all about. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everyone in their heart decide to do so. Heavenly Father, thank You for hearing our prayer. We pray that through this Your name will be glorified. And I pray that everyone here experience something special with You as they join You, as they see You in their life as they never seen before. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.